So I think this will be our final week on the Chet of Adam and Chava. This is our fourth week, so it's been a lot to work on, but I'm going to try to wrap it up this week if I can. We are up to source number 22. Source 22. So right now we're really in the thick of the actual sin itself. We spoke about last week, you know, all the lead up, you know, what did the Nachash say to Chava? How did he entice her? And now we're moving into Chava's look at the tree. And source 22, we're working off of Pasuk Vav. Let's read Pasuk Vav together. Pasuk Vav says, "Atir isha kitova eats the machal." And the woman saw that the tree was good to eat. V'chisava hu le'inayim, and it was a desire for the eyes. V'nechman eats the haskil, and the tree was it was good for the intellect, I guess. And she ate from it. She took from its fruit. Vatochal and ate it. Titen legam leisha. She gave it to her husband. Ima with her. Vayochal and he ate it as well. And last week we spoke about why she gave it to her husband. You know, why would she want to go and also give it to Adam? That we mentioned that last week. So source number 22 is the Or HaChaim, and the Or HaChaim discusses more in detail how Chava was enticed. How was she fooled? And we've seen a few approaches to this already, but this is another approach. He's giving some details based on this pasuk to show how could the Nachash have fooled Chava? Chava's a smart woman. How could she be fooled in doing such a terrible sin? So the Or HaChaim says, "Achein akas v'yagid ofim etzudasa shel isha." This pasuk tells us the manner in which she was ensnared, she was trapped. V'ech netzratzis lishmo alamisis. And how was it that she became willing to listen to this con artist, the snake? V'ne. So in the beginning, when she spoke to the Nachash, she said that Hashem told her not to eat from the fruit of the tree that was in the middle of the garden. So we're going to focus on the words mipriya ate, from the fruit of the tree. Hareza magedes daita, this tells us what she was thinking. Midiasa her knowledge. Kilo nesar la ela hapri atmo. She felt that only the fruit was forbidden, but the wood and the branches and the leaves she thought were okay. So we actually mentioned a few weeks back, when we were talking about the different blunders of Bereishis, we mentioned the idea that the trees were supposed to all taste like the fruit, and the one tree that rebelled was the Esrog tree. But it happened to be as well the Eitz Hadas Tovara. Whatever species it was, the wood did taste like the tree, according to the Baruch Chaim. The wood tastes like the fruit. So Chava thought, though, that only the fruit is aser, but the wood is okay. So why did she think this? I mean, Hashem never said, seemingly only the fruit was a problem. Hashem said, don't eat from that tree. Why did Chava think that the fruit was the problem, but the tree was okay? So there's two possible theories as to why that is. It could be that Adam, when he commanded her not to eat from the tree, told her mipriya eats, he mentioned the fruit, so she thought it meant only the fruit. Or even if Adam said eats, he just said tree, he didn't say fruit. She thought in her own mind, she made up her own rationale, that Hashem would only command about the fruit, because the wood is not really food anyways, it's not so edible. And she could not imagine that the mitzvah would be placed upon the wood. We already explained the medrash, that all the trees of the garden, like we said before, the wood didn't taste like the fruit, except the itzadas, the wood tastes like the fruit. So, again, so now we're going in step one again into Chava's deception. So she thought in her own mind, and she was incorrect, but she thought in her own mind that it was okay to eat from the wood of the tree, just not from the fruit of the tree. And even though to us it sounds funny to eat wood, this tree, the wood tasted like the fruit, so the wood actually was tasty as well. I guess it was hard, and I don't think they had different texture of wood, but at least they had a flavor. So she would have thought, okay, I chew on the wood, I'll get some of the flavor, despite the fact I can't eat the fruit. So that's what she thought. The kamarina kasuv ki bedavar hamesis l'chava bachna chava v'shalcha yada v'chava me'etz lo mi'apri. So now the pasuk's telling us, and this is the Or HaChaim's unique take on this pasuk. He says that Chava at first, when she was enticed by the Nachash, she said, well, not so fast. I'm not going to eat the fruit quite yet. Let me taste the wood first and see how that is. Because she thought the wood was okay. So the snake was not able to entice her to eat the fruit, but the snake was able to entice her to eat the wood. And she wasn't concerned about touching the tree, because we know that touching was the touch. She thought touching was the problem on the fruit, not the tree itself. Or maybe she felt there was no isur to touch it. Last week we discussed the idea of touching it. We discussed that last week. We know the snake pushed her against the tree and she touched it, but and she didn't die. So that at that point she ruled out the isur of touching it. She felt, okay, touching it's fine. So basically she's going to slowly be lured into the tree, step by step. And in her mind, the only real isur was in the fruit. So what happens? Vatera, now we can look at the pasuk very differently. Vatera isha ki tov ha'etz. The pasuk says the woman saw ki tov ha'etz l'ma'achal, that the tree was good to eat. Not the fruit. She didn't have any fruit yet. But she tasted the wood before tasting the fruit. And when she tasted this wood, something overtook her. Because in truth, the wood was aser, but she didn't know that. Perish gufa ilan v'anafa rasa behem mira mashana mikol ilan yasada. When she tasted the wood, she saw that this wood is different than other trees. It tasted different, and it had an effect upon her. Zu avchana rishona alias shetayma shinui beitz. And then at that point, she said, oh, this wood is pretty good. Let me check out the fruit. Beforehand, she didn't look at the fruit. Why? Because she knew the fruit was usr. And she was a good girl. She didn't want to eat the fruit. So we know when something's usr, it's better just to stay away from it. Why start looking at it, dreaming about it, having fantasies about it? Just don't stay away. But now that she tasted the wood, and the wood was so good, and it was very different than other trees, at that point, she was interested in looking at the fruit. So now she looks at the fruits, and what happens? She saw the fruits, and she said, oh, the fruit is desirous to the eyes. So that phrase, is talking about the fruit. And this is just a point in the wording. So the Aruch Chaim is saying the first part of the phrase of the pasuk is tov eitz l'machal. She tasted the wood. So the wood tasted very good. It was very different. The tree was unique. She said, this tree is very different. Let me check out the fruit now. Take a look at it. I'm not going to eat it. I'll just look. And she looked at the fruit, and suddenly the desire overtook her. It says, tavahu leinayim, the fruit was desirous to the eyes. So now she recognized that it was good for her mind, right? It's hadas. She recognized it was doing something to her mind. Was a dictate kasulum nechmara eitz pirusha achla lahaskil shukishibo askala. And this is a very interesting point he's making. I'll go back for a second. So she thought that the wood was okay. So she wasn't going to eat the fruit, chas v'shalom, she thought it was usur, but the wood, she thought, okay, that's okay. So I'll listen to the snake and I'll taste the wood, and I'll see what happens. And the wood is really good. So at that point, two things occurred. Number one, she now drew her attention to the fruit, because in her mind, this tree is pretty interesting now, and she was curious about the tree. But furthermore, the wood was usur, and the impact of Eitz Hadas Tovra already hit her. So now when it says, how does she know that the tree is good for lahaskil, for her mind? How can you see that? The answer is, well, she already was feeling it because she ate the wood. So the impact of the tree, you know, the tree is different repercussions have already impacted Chava. So now she's looking at the fruit and she's feeling different because she ate this tree. It's like, you know, it's like taking a drug. She felt high. She felt something different about herself. So what happens now? So now, suddenly, the words of the Nachash made sense to her. Because the Nachash said, you know why Hashem doesn't want you to eat this fruit? It's not because it's usur, it's because He knows if you eat the fruit, you're going to be powerful like Him. That was the entire time the snake's deception. So now, suddenly, she's buying into it. Now she thinks that Hashem doesn't want her to become his equal, kevi'achol. So at this point now she's okay, but and then the Rachash is right. Matika chabir v'tochal. She took from the fruit and ate it. Dictiglon mepirio, because now the pasuk stresses the fruit. Kime etzo kvar achla kodem, because she already ate from the wood. Uvazenis yashvu kol ksuvim v'chol dikdukim, and through this everything fits in and makes sense. So now the order is very, it's very, the pasuk is very, very precise. The fact that it switches between the wood and the fruits for a reason, and it shows the Yitzhahara slowly luring her in to the chait. As a lesson for us, it's very important, which is, we mentioned a little bit of this last week as well. Now the Yitzhahara, the way that he functions, he knows that we're not going to jump immediately into a terrible Isser. Now people, you know, we have our standards, we have our values, and, you know, we're going to draw a line somewhere. But if he's able to make us take baby steps into the world of Avera, then he can lure people into much worse things. Now the Gemara says, Kachi Darko Shitzahara. This is the way the Yitzhahara. It says, Hayom Omer Lo Ase Kach. Today he tells you, do this. And tomorrow he tells you, do this. And next day, do this. And then it says, eventually you'll be doing a Avodah Zarah. So what does that Gemara mean? Because the Yitzhahara knows there's no way to take a believing Jew and then bring him, say, and bow down to that idol. It's not going to happen. But he says, okay, you know, today you'll just go and you'll look at the beauty of these statues. And tomorrow you'll go and you'll listen to the beautiful hymns they're singing, you know, to their idols. And next day you'll go and you'll smell the incense of burning to the idols. And then maybe you'll walk into the temple and, you know, you'll sit down, you'll listen to the speech. Okay, so then eventually you'll be bowing down with them as well. One step at a time. That's how Yitzhahara works. So Chav also, the snake knew I can't get her to go straight for the fruit. But I could trick her. You know, if she thinks the wood is okay, so okay, have a little bit of the wood, you know, sniff it a little bit, take a little lick, you know, look at the fruit. It looks beautiful. Don't eat it, just look at it. It just looks beautiful. And that's it. And that enticed her to sin. The Vilna Gaon says in his Perush on Mishlei, in the very first Perek, it describes in Mishlei how a person who is a sinner will come and try to persuade you to go with him, and you shouldn't listen. And then it says, what's he going to say? So the first thing it says is that the sinner will tell you, I'm l'chay etanu. Now come and walk with us. So Vilna Gaon says, he's going to say, you don't have to do anything wrong. You're not going to do the sin. Just come watch. Just come be part of us. Now come join us. I'll do all the dirty work. And it's talking there about murder and stealing. But he's saying, I'm not going to steal. But yeah, but just come along. You know, we're friends anyways. We'll schmooze on the way. I'll do my business and then we'll go on. You're not going to have to do anything. Because, of course, the Yitzhahara knows that you're not going to take a nice Jew and have them go and steal. But you can slowly lure them into that mode as long as it's in baby steps. So that's what the Nachash of Chava is. We'll have to be little small steps towards the Avera. Now, again, it all began because Chava was not aware of the Isser. You mentioned last week the idea of touching it. Was that Usser? Was that not Usser? Chava made another mistake here. Chava made the mistake. She felt that the fruit was Usser, not the wood. Had she known the wood was also, she wouldn't be in the wood either. It's a lesson, like we said last week as well. You have to always know clearly the guidelines. You know, what is Asr, what's Mutter, what's Deraisa, what's Derabanan, what's important, what's not as important. Because if you have that structure in your mind, you know not to get fooled into these things. But if in your mind, the wood's really not so bad, and the truth is, wood's just as bad as the fruit, that can lure you into doing much worse things. He continues in the bottom here. It says, Ra'isi lasseis tuv tam. He says, I want to be able to give an explanation. Kein kol kach ashma al Chava. But we can't blame Chava so much for this. So meaning that Chava obviously is guilty. You know, Chava is the one who became enticed by the snake, and Chava is the one who fed to her husband the forbidden fruit. But the Ruch Chaim says, you know what? Don't be so hard on Chava. Why? Ki l'chashva sheish birya ba'olam shebra Hashem l'havchim ba avas bruav. You know, it's interesting. We mentioned last week a little bit. You know, Chava and Adam, they were the first people created. And what awareness do they have about the world? It's very hard to know. This is their first day on this planet. They're created as adults. They didn't have any schooling, no life experience, no street smarts. I mean, they didn't have anything. We don't know how they were created exactly. So I don't think we have the answer to that question. But Chava, you know, she was a little bit, I don't call it naive, but she was unaware of the way the world works. And he says that Chava didn't know that Hashem made any creatures that were there to test her. I mean, if you're put in a perfect world, you think everybody's on my side. Everyone's here to serve Hashem properly. Everyone wants to do the right thing. Everyone wants to be honest and straight. What?
Everyone's good.
Everyone's good. Why should I think anybody out there is out to get me? That's why should I be so nervous? I mean, why should I have that anxiety? And Chava says that I wasn't aware that there's a single creation in this world, a creature in this world, that's here to test people into doing the wrong thing. And she wasn't aware of such a thing. Even though the Nachash was like this, and as we described before, Nachash was somehow portraying, you know, the evil of the world, the Satan's ploy, etc., whatever the Nachash was, Chava just wasn't aware that such a thing existed. Had she known this, then she would have been a little more alert, a little more concerned, because she would have known, okay, I have to keep my guard up because there are people out there that are up to no good. She wouldn't have even listened to the Nachash. She would have just totally rejected the Nachash from the start. Had she known the Nachash was evil, she wouldn't have even had a conversation. Going back to the Vilna Gaon Mishlei, that same pasuk, that pasuk before, it says, when these sinners come to you, lo sovei, which means don't even have a desire to listen to what they talk about. I mean, it's not saying listen to them and just reject what they say. Don't even want to hear what they have to say. I don't want to give you the time of day. And when you know somebody's up to no good, you shouldn't bring them into conversation. You should just ignore them. You're up to no good. I don't want to talk to you. Because once I get into conversation, I'm asking for trouble. Had Chava known that the Nachash was the Satan incarnate, as it were, so of course she wouldn't have given him the time of day. She would have walked away and said, I'm not talking to you. You're up to no good. You're trying to deceive me. But she had no awareness of such things. And it says, Kasher osim hein ayom, anashim tzadikim, as we know nowadays, people who are tzaddikim, they don't even give an ear to those who are con artists or evil or deceptive. Because, you know, if somebody is not a good person, but they're a smooth talker, they could trick you into doing lots of terrible things, chas v'shalom, as we hear stories all the time about these things. So the best thing is, we know somebody, their reputation is, these are not upstanding people, it's best not even to listen to what they have to say. And tzaddikim to this very day do that. You know, if somebody's up to no good, just ignore them. Don't get involved in the conversation, because if they're smooth talkers and they're deceptive enough, they will trick you. Because the tzaddikim understand that some people out there are not good people. Sometimes the Satan comes into this world and he tricks us, prosecutes us, and then he comes back to get us. V'isha ania, but this poor lady, Chava, she didn't know that there was a creature created in Hashem's world to challenge her. So it's interesting. Again, we don't really know exactly what Chava's level of knowledge was in life. But we have an advantage over Chava that we know there's Yetzer Hara. We know there's a Satan. We know that there are challenges in life that we have to deal with. We know that. If you're not aware of the challenges, then you're hopeless, because you don't even know you have anything to fight. You have no idea. And furthermore, she tasted the wood and she thought the wood was okay to eat. So for her, she did nothing wrong when she ate the wood. In her own mind, what she was doing was mutter. It wasn't like she was saying, I'm giving in to my desire. She didn't think that. When she ate the wood, she thought she was doing something that was totally fine to do. But had she known that Hashem creates a satan to test us, had she known that tasting the wood would be usr, she wouldn't have tasted anything, wouldn't have eaten from the fruit either. So Chava, again, obviously she did the wrong thing, but we have a limud zchus upon her. She didn't do anything malicious. There's no malicious intent. She was actually a very innocent, very pure person. She felt the world was good. People were good, and we should trust others who are around. And she felt, for some reason, a mistake that she made, but she felt that the wood was okay to eat. So you wonder, like, well, why didn't she know exactly? Like, is it because Hashem didn't tell her? Did Adam know about this? Like, what was the plan here? Did Hashem want her to know that there was challenges in life? Did Hashem not want her to know? Was she supposed to know? Was she not supposed to know? So I don't know. But my sense of this would be that Chava, initially, we said before the Chait, the world was very black and white. There was Emes and there was Sheker. Nothing was confusing. So in her mind, everything Hashem makes is Emes. In her mind, she couldn't even tolerate anything that was Sheker. It just didn't occur to her that there'd be anything Sheker in Hashem's world. And the Nachash was peddling Sheker. That's what he was doing. But in her mind, everything was very black and white. There's Emes and there's Sheker, and that's all there is. And Hashem's world is Emes. Hashem made it. It must be Emes, and must be good. That's what happened in her mind. The fact that Hashem placed in the world a messenger to challenge us, So we understand that now that's part of the challenge of life, that we have to go through struggles, and the Yetzer Hara comes in sometimes and entices us to do things we don't want to do. But Chava just wasn't aware of this entire, of the plan. She didn't know this program, and that drew her in. So that's a very interesting approach of the Orach Chaim, both in terms of the fruit versus the wood, and in terms of this last point over here.
Abishir?
Yeah.
Orach Chaim doesn't bring in anything of the fact that Chava sent something in terms of being on an equal footing with Hashem by eating that the what the snake said, that she would gain knowledge and she would be, you know, an equal. Was that, did that come into play?
He did mention it. I think she only, once she ate the wood, then at that point she started feeling that.
Okay.
That's because at that point she lost her own sense of true and false, because she ate from the wood of the tree.
Okay.
That already got to her. She was already infected at that point. Let's go to the next pasuk here. So now she ate, and Adam ate. So now they both ate from the tree, and what happens? Vatipakachna ene shnehem, their eyes opened up. Vayedu, and they recognized ki erumim him, that they were naked. Visprale teena, and they stitched leaves of a fig tree. Vyasim chagoros, and they made belts. So something to cover up their private areas. So that's Pasuk Zion. So the result of the tree, the immediate result, so we know that the long-term result was there's death in the world, there's Yitzhahara, all these things occur in the long-term result. The immediate result was the recognition that they were naked. And that's the whole story began, that they were naked and weren't aware, and now they ate from the Yitzhadas, now they're aware of their being naked, and they had to cover themselves up. So we want to understand a little more what they became aware of exactly here. What happened? So look at number 23. Let's go 24 first, and we'll go back to 23. Look at 24. The Ramban. The Ramban says, "V'tipekachna inei shnehem, l'inyan hachachma dibur kasuv." So when it says their eyes open, it's not literal. I mean, their eyes are open before as well. What it means is that they became, it's an awareness. Now you've opened up my eyes. In modern English, we use that also. You've opened my eyes to this. You know, you've enlightened my eyes. So when it says their eyes opened up, it doesn't mean literally their eyes open. It means that they became aware of some additional chachma. Lo inyan riyamam, which doesn't mean seeing. And the sofo mochiach, and we prove this through the end of the pasuk, v'yedu, because it says that they were now knowledgeable, they were aware. Kirum him, they're naked. Koshen Rashi v'chin gal ena v'bevita miflos torasecha. Also, we say a pasuk of Tehillim, Hashem, open my eyes, let me see wonders of your Torah. We're not asking that, no, I can't see. We're saying, help me be aware of it. So whatever it means, v'tipakachna is not an idea of physical seeing. It means they became aware. Look at 25. The Sfarno says, what happened now? Amnasnu lev al kol are v'tainug. So Sfarno says that now they became attuned to things that were pleasurable. Afafisha yazik, even though they were damaging. If you remember the Sfarno, when he began describing the Yetzer Tovara, the way he described the entire Das Tovara, what it means, what the result of this tree would be, the Sfarno says that people were now going to choose that which is pleasurable, even though it's damaging in the long term, and despise things that are not pleasurable, even if they're good for them. Meaning that in a world of true and false, the perfect world, we would choose things by, is it beneficial or not beneficial? We wouldn't think about, is it enjoyable or not? Enjoyable is something nice, but ultimately, is it a benefit for me or is it not a benefit for me? So before they start Tovara, the choices were, is it good for me or is it bad for me? In the world we're in right now, we look at things, do I enjoy it or not? And that then confuses the picture. Well, it's not so good for me, but I enjoy it. You know, the extra piece of cake is not so good for me, but I enjoy it. So therefore, we take this extra piece of cake. So it's something which is are vitanug, it's pleasurable, even though it might be damaging, it's unhealthy. And that's true not just in the world of food, but in many places in life. You know, we do things that at the moment seem like they're going to be enjoyable. You know, you get angry and you let it out. So yeah, at that moment you felt you released that anger, but in the long term you may have ruined a relationship. You may have hurt someone's feelings. It's not good. It's yazik. It's damaging. So the Sfarno says, now they ate from the tree, suddenly their whole attitude on life changed. Instead of pursuing just true and false, they started pursuing pleasure, even though it may not have been beneficial. Kisimas leva ashkacha badavar tikkur pika pikichas ayin. And he's going back to this lashon of opening their eyes, because we know that throughout the Tanakh, the idea of paying attention or noticing something is also called pekichas ayin, called opening your eyes. Ka'amras, it says, af al ze pekachta einecha. Even on this, you've noticed. Viru kirum heim, yadu shiroi l'chasus makam erva. At this point, they noticed they were naked. They knew it was proper to cover up their private areas. Bios ma'ata rov pulasa mechuvenes es hainug mosu mazik. Because now they recognize that these private areas are going to be doing things which are looking for their own good and not trying to do things that are beneficial. I mean, this is what we mentioned earlier. That used to be that all ideas of taiva, they were there not for our own pleasure, but to do what needs to be done. You need to eat, you need to have children. So that's what these things are in the world for. After the chait, suddenly people started having their own selfish urges and desires, and then became embarrassing because these parts become more animalistic and less human-like because we're following our own personal urges rather than following that which Hashem wants out of us. So that was the result of the chait immediately, but the main point was not the nudity. The main point was that the whole attitude in life changed because now they're looking out for their own personal pleasures rather than just trying to do what's right for the world and right for Hashem. And that was the real result of Das Tovara. Now go back to 23. The Orach Chaim, he gives more here, like, I guess more of like a Musar point than a Pshat point, but it's also a very important point. He says, Od Yirmos Be'omro. There's a remez here. When it says, V'tibakachna al derech omrim zal, he quotes from a Zohar, Ein adam over avera, elim ken istatmu ene sichlo. A person never sins unless the eyes of his mind have been shut. So what does that mean? And this is why the Torah attributes blindness to the wicked, symbolically. Those who are blind, they should look and see. I mean, we talk about somebody being blinded to the truth. We have somebody who's blind to seeing what's right. We don't mean they're physically blind, we mean that they're recognizing what's right and wrong. So the idea of v'tipakachna ene shnehem, we're saying it's not a physical eyesight. But a lot of it has to do with the approach to sin. Once the vera is done, and then the mesis, the con artist, and the one who deceived them, left. That was called choshech. Shemachshech ene adam tekef umiyad nifikuv enehem v'hergishu kirum him. Meaning that when we're in the midst of doing an avera, usually that means we're in the dark. Meaning that we're not seeing things straight. We're not recognizing right and wrong, true and false, not seeing the outcome of it. So you could say a person is in the dark right now. You know, they're doing something which is damaging and they don't recognize what they're doing. Person in the dark. Once the avera is done, typically you wake up and say, what did I just do? Why did I do that? That was so stupid of me. We do that all the time. And that's when the eyes open up. So Chava as well, as the Satan, as the Nachash was there trying to persuade her, entice her, you know, have her do the wrong thing. So she was in the dark at that point. You know, she was living in a world of fantasy. She wasn't living in a world of reality. As soon as she ate from the tree, you know, she's all shooken up, and there's a jolt, and she says, "What did I just do to myself?" And that's the idea of her eyes opening up. Perish nifshetu mizehira de kedusha, v'chein yekara l'chol rasha shebigmar meisar ra yargish ki hisse v'yachalim. And this is what happens in any evil deed that we do. They do the meisar ra, and afterwards you immediately feel down. And you feel embarrassed of your deeds. As you're doing it, you didn't feel that way. But 5 minutes later, you're like, why did I just do what I just did? That was such a bad thing to do. The iruah nesichlo, because your mind now is opened up, and your mind is recognizing the truth, but you just missed that as you're in the midst of the avera. V'divrei Rav Hoseinu sh'amru, v'zeh lashonam levushu sh'am rishon, the clothing of Adam Rishon, or tziporin, v'anon kavim l'chasa lov. And then he says another point, kind of a side point. Chazal tell us that when Adam was created, so he didn't wear clothing as we know it. There was some sort of natural layer, similar to a fingernail, covering the entire body. And then once they ate from the tree, that was no longer sufficient, and they had to wear actual clothing. So that's something else we can discuss separately. But the Orach Chaim's point, though, is another important point, understanding the nature of chet. In this entire story, we keep bringing out lessons as to how the Yetzer Hara works, what happens to us as we do a chait, what are we thinking, what's he trying to do to us. And one important point is that we have to recognize when in the midst of a chait, usually we're not thinking. That's usually what happens. The Gemara says, you don't sin unless this bout of craziness enters you, a bout of insanity. At that moment, your head's not screwed on straight. Like they say, you're in the dark at that moment. Once the chait is over, suddenly everything becomes clear in your eyes. You look back and you say, that was so irrational. That was such a bad thing to say. That was such a silly thing to do. Now, why did I go there? Why did I do that? And the answer is, well, when you were doing it, you were in the dark, and now suddenly the chet's over, your eyes open up, and you recognize what happened. So Chava as well, in Adam. Now, when they ate from the tree, they were confused. Nachash had fooled them. They were in the dark. They weren't seeing things straight. Once they ate, suddenly everything fell into place, and they knew what happened, but it was too late. And the damage had been done. So that's the idea of Atipakach Ne'ene Shnehem. Let's move down to the next pasuk. So this we're skipping ahead a little bit over here, and this pasuk is I'm writing pasuk number over here, but this is a few pasukim later. This is after they get their punishments. We're skipping the punishments. This is now when Hashem wants to throw Adam out of Gan Eden, and this is going to explain a little more about the chet. Avim Hashem Elokim, Heina Adam Hayakaacha Mimenu. The pasuk says Hashem Elokim says Adam has now become like one of us. Very interesting phrase, one of us. Ladas tovara, knowing good and evil. Vyata, and now. Penyishalach yado, maybe he will send his hand. Vilakach gam etzachayim, he'll take from the etzachayim, the tree of life. Vachal, and he'll eat, vachalom, and he'll live forever. So Hashem now says, Adam has become, we'll see what this means, like one of us. And now I'm concerned he'll eat from the etzachayim and live forever. And he can't do that at this stage. Had Adam not sinned, he could live forever. Now that Adam has sinned, he can't live forever anymore. So we know what this means. As an aside, this is not in the packet. The Medrash says that the word here, va'ata, literally means in now. But the Medrash says the word va'ata means, it's a lashon of tshuva, meaning that Hashem is saying, now you can do tshuva, and Adam still hasn't done tshuva. I mean, Adam, had he decided to do tshuva, he could have stayed in Gan Eden. You could be in Gan Eden with a sin if you do tshuva. Which is an important thing for us to understand. Hashem made the world that Adam's going to sin. Now people are people. We're going to sin, but we have to do tshuva. If you do tshuva, you can stay in Gan Eden. You can live a life of eternity and again with tshuva. But Adam refused tshuva, so therefore Adam was thrown out. Because Adam only was thrown out once he didn't do tshuva. That's an important lesson for us as well. The power of tshuva and the expectation of tshuva. But number 26, we're going to see, what does it mean that Adam is one of us? It's a very funny phrase, that Adam is one of us. Aderech ha-pshat, this is Rabbeinu Bechaya. Aderech pshat, Yomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimenu, kekel malachim. So the pshat seems to be, when Hashem says one of us, he means malachim. Meaning Adam has now achieved the level of a malach in terms of knowing Tov V'ra. Vayaroi lomar ka'achan mikem, Hashem should have said one of you, not one of us. I mean, Hashem is including himself in the picture. But because of Hashem's humility, Hashem includes himself with the malachim. And some of you find actually in a few times in Chumash, the most prominent place is Nasa Adam. When Hashem creates man, he doesn't say, I will make man, he says, we shall make man, Nasa Adam. Which all the Mefarshim say, this is going to lead people to heresy. Inappropriate thoughts that Hashem created man with someone else. Hashem needed helpers to create man. What does that mean? And Rashi says that Hashem's teaching us humility. That Hashem consulted with the Malachim prior to creating man. I mean, Hashem didn't need to consult anybody. Hashem could do it on his own. But Hashem is teaching us, when you're going to make a big decision, consult with those around you before you make that decision. So that's why Hashem said, Nasa Adam. Here too, Hashem, because of his anava, because of his humility, he said, Mimenu. The Kavanas HaKasuv Lomar, and the point of the pasuk is the following. Before Adam sinned, he was entirely based on his intellect. Nothing held him back. So he's gone down from his level. And he's been enclosed with desire, with taiva. So meaning the point is that now Adam has to be thrown out of Gan Eden because he can't achieve what he needs to achieve at this point. He's become a lower level and he can't be in this holy area on his low level. Look at 27, this is Sforno. Sforno says, Amkacha menu das tovara, v'yodea tovara, imiyosa betzamenu. So Adam now knows tovara. If Adam becomes eternal in this manner, in his current situation, he will spend his entire eternity pursuing pleasures, and he will throw away any desire of to understand, to grow in his mind. And he won't be able to achieve the goal that Hashem wants him to achieve, the goal of spiritual happiness, Mesama v'dmusa. So basically, until this point, the goal of Adam was to live for eternity in Gan Eden, and he will be able to pursue the happiness of the neshama through doing mitzvahs, understanding Hashem, understanding the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and living in that world. But now that Adam ate from the tree, he's going to spend his entire life pursuing physical pleasure, and to have that gone for eternity will not get him anywhere. So therefore, I have to throw him out of Gan Eden. He can't eat from the Eitz HaChayim. He has to have a limited lifespan, and only through that will he be able to achieve his goal. But to live a life of eternity in this world pursuing physical pleasure is not going to get him anywhere. So that's the end of the packet. But we see now a much bigger picture of this chait. What was the tree all about? What was the nachash all about? How did Chava become enticed? And the result. The result, we can't understand the world prior to the chait. That's something which is far beyond us. We have a little glimpse of it here. We know the world after the chait. That's our world. That's the world we're in. And we see a lot based on this story of how the Yetzer Hara comes to attack us and what we do in order to, how we can encounter that in the way that we function. I have another time here, right? A little time, yeah. Another paper passed around here. One last point about this story. There we go. Messes around. When we began a few weeks ago, I mentioned a point I wanted to come back to, which was there's a medrash, there's a gemara, that has a dispute over what was the Eitz HaDaas, what fruit was it? Just to refresh our minds, one opinion was it was grapes, one says it was figs, one says it was wheat, and no one says apples. That was stressed a few times. It wasn't an apple. There's a fourth opinion in the medrash that says esrog. So four possibilities: wheat, grapes, figs, esrog. So what does that matter to us? I mean, what are Chazal trying to teach us based on that? Like, whatever fruit it was, that was the fruit. What's the point for us to know what kind of tree it was? So this is the Maharal, and Maharal discusses this point. And the Maharal is going to describe how each kind of fruit mentioned represents a different type of urge in a person. And the question is going to be, now when somebody sins, that means the sin's appealing to some part of us. So which part did the sin appeal to in Chava? So if you look at the bottom right over here, Beis HaDaas Nemar Bo Shai Bo Gimel Dvarim Elu. Beis HaDaas, it says, had these three different concepts. Kitova Eitz L'Maychol, it says that the tree was good to eat. Zeo Keneged HaGuf, this corresponds to the physical body, Shevakash Achil Vashti, which pursues food and drink. So one part of ourselves is the physical part. And the physical part of ourselves is always looking to enjoy physically. The Nechma Eitz L'Haskil, then says that the Eitz HaDaas was good L'Haskil for the mind. And that's Kenei Kol HaSichli, Shem Mashal Maseichel. This corresponds to the intellect of the person. Because the intellect is looking for Seichel. And it says, Ki Taivahu Leinayim, it was desirous to the eyes. Ki Taivahu Leinayim Machzik HaNefesh, Vesem Lo Simcha. Because Taiva for the eyes gives us joy. I mean, when you go to, say, to an art museum, you appreciate the beauty of the art. You go see a beautiful sunset. So what's being appealed to at that moment? It's not your intellect. It's not your physical body. It's like your emotions. That's the third part of a person. You know, when you see beautiful things, you feel very settled emotionally. So there's three things here. There was physically the tree looked very good, very tasty foods, very tasty fruits. She could tell it would help her intellectually. That's the seichel. And also the beauty of the tree made her feel good. The emotions. She felt simcha based on this beauty. So that's the type of, when it's to the eyes. When the eyes see beauty, they feel good. Afichach, hayayin shuma sameach, yesh lo gam ken mara odem, kirechsiv al tira yayin, ki is adam. So we know that wine is something that brings us happiness. Yayin samach levav anosh, wine makes you feel loose, feel happy. And wine, as he says, looks pretty. The fact that it has this red color, it has a certain look to it. It might be soothing for a person. So wine appeals to the emotions, and the evil of wine, at least in this context, would be something that appeals to the emotion in an evil way. If you say the tree was wheat, wheat's good for the mind. The Gemara says a few places, I'll quote one over here, that wheat's something which helps the person in terms of their understanding. Like it says in the Gemara in Maseches Horio, Sahei Devarim Yafin LaTalmud, there are five things that are good for learning. Eating wheat bread is good for learning. Certainly wheat is good for learning as well. As it says also in the Gemara, that a baby can't call out Abba and Ima until it tastes grain. Meaning it's usually about the time the baby's starting to eat grains, it'll start calling out words and speaking to parents. So we look at the idea of grain developing the mind. It's scientifically how that connects, go ask a scientist, but that's what Chazal tell us. So if you're talking about wheat, you're talking about the intellectual appeal. If you're talking about wine, you're talking about the emotional appeal. So if you say that the tree was wheat, what you're saying is that the intellectual appeal is what went out of Rechava. I mean, Rechava is being enticed. What enticed her the most? Was it the physical drive, the emotional drive, or the intellectual appeal they had? So if you say it was wheat, it means the intellect. If you say that the tree was grapes, was wine, everyone knows that wine looks pretty and gives simcha. Like it says, I'll take the teriyaki is Adam. So if you say the tree was grapes, you're saying that the chet was because it appealed to her emotions. And she said, if I eat this, then I'm going to feel good, I'm going to feel relaxed, I'm going to feel self-confidence, whatever she was feeling, but it's pointing to the emotions of a person. That means the chait's appealing to the koch hanafshi, the emotions, which desire simcha. The mandamar te'en, if you say it was a fig, that mandamar holds. If you say that the tree was a fig, that opinion means, ki achait haya bekoach gufni, shavakesh ataivos. That the chait was appealing to the physical body that seeks out taiva, that seeks out physical desire. Vein davar shiosur tova maichel kmot einim. The Maral says that the nicest food to eat is figs. I guess figs looked at as a delicacy in those days. It was like the dessert. It was figs. It was like having a piece of cake. So the figs were commonly eaten as dessert. So according to this, you're saying that the chait of Adam and Chava was because it was good to eat. It was the physical drive. So the machlokas here in terms of what the tree was, it's not so important for us to know, was it a fig, was it a grape, what was it wheat? What's important for us to know is that this, again, speaking to how a person gets drawn into sin. If somebody does something wrong, no one's going to do something wrong if they don't gain from it. The Gemara has a rule. It says, Eidonim chote velolo. You don't sin if you don't gain from the sin. So if you do a sin, you're gaining in some way from the sin. So it could be you're getting intellectually, it could be emotionally, or it could be physically. One of those three. So which one was it that went out over Chava? That's a machlokus. So if it was wheat, it was the intellect. If it was grapes, it was the emotion. If it was figs, it was the physical drive. One of those three. But it teaches us that when we are being enticed to chait, we should recognize in our own selves, well, what is it appealing to? Am I doing this because it will feel good for me emotionally, physically, intellectually? Because if you know what you're dealing with, you know how to fight it as well. If you know the battle, then you can plan to fight the battle. He continues and says, so the machlokas over here, in terms of which type of fruit was the tree, what they're arguing about really is which of these kochos was in the forefront of this sin. If you say that it was wheat, that means it was your intellectual drive, because this opinion understands that the intellect wins out overall. Because of his level, Adam was drawn towards this. That brought him to chait. If you say that it was emotional, we know that emotions are very, very powerful. And very often emotions overpower the intellect, and overpower the physical drives. No, when we feel emotional, we feel angry, we feel upset, we feel down. People who are depressed, they can't do anything. Nothing appeals to them, because emotions are so powerful. So that mandamar, that opinion says, it was the emotions that were appealed to. That's the most powerful part of the person, and that's what the chait appeals to. Mandamar kocha gufni, if you say it was the physical drive, shtayva sa guf, sh'adam hu bal guf, a person is essentially physical, kach yoser sho ba'adam davar zen, and the strongest appeal on a person is the physical drive. Like we find as well, people do all sorts of crazy things based for their physical desires. So each person had their rationale as to why they said this fruit was what did it for her. So now we see it's a much deeper lesson in terms of what fruit the tree was. It's telling you the lessons of how a person functions and how a chet occurs. The one thing you didn't mention over here is the esrog. Right? There's a fourth opinion that the tree was an esrog tree. So what does that mean? So there's another ma'aral, it's not on the sheet, but the ma'aral talks about this elsewhere. I have a copy for myself here. In Derech HaChayim, his commentary on Pirkei Avos. And I'm not going to go through the entire piece right now, but he says in short the following. He says that the esrog actually includes all three elements. The esrog has a good taste. I mean, you might think it's a little bit sour, but it has a good taste. Esrog has this beauty, has this appeal to it that makes you feel good by looking at it. And esrog also, he says, he brings a proof that esrog is good for the intellect as well. So not getting too much into the particular words about the esrog, he says the esrog contains all three of these different kochos. And his point being, based on that, would be that sometimes when a person sins, I mean, essentially every part of a person must be on board to some degree. Meaning, let's say my intellect says do it, my body says it's going to kill me, you're not going to do it, right? Because the body says, the body has to be appeased in some way. Let's say the emotions say it's great, but your mind says it's the stupidest idea in the world. So you could have your mind say, you know, it's not a great idea, but I'll go along. Okay, so the mind will go along with it. But if it's just like totally irrational, makes no sense at all, as much as your emotions say do it, your mind will stop you. And if it's bad for your physical body, the physical body will stop you. You know, maybe your emotions will say, I want to jump in the fire, but your hand's going to pull back at the fire because that's the physical reaction to it. And then the physical body says, let's do it. And then the emotions say, no, the person says that this person's down depressed and has no energy to do it, so they're not going to do it because the emotions aren't on board. So the esrog will be saying that, no, in order to sin, you have to have all three of these elements on board with the sin, at least to some degree. The previous discussion was which one is primary in sin. Is it the intellect, the emotions, or is it the body? But if you don't have all three on board to some level, then you're not going to do it. Something's going to hold you back. So if you say it's the esrog, meaning the esrog contains all three elements to it. It has the element of the mind, of the body, and of the emotion. So the lesson of the esrog is to say that every single part of the person must somehow be engaged in sin for the sin to occur. Which is why Itz Hadas had all three parts. It was Tove, Itz Lemaichel, it was physically good. It was Nechma Lehaskil, it was intellectually good. It was Nechma Lemara, and it was beautiful to look at. Nechma Lenayim, Tevu Lenayim, because it had all three of these elements, and therefore it was able to entice Chava to do the wrong thing. So I think that kind of sums up our series here on Itz Hadas Tov V'Ra. We'll stop it with that.
Why is it a palace? It's an esrog tree. That why doesn't the Torah say?
In the pasuk, well, it doesn't say any type of tree it was,
yeah,
but.
And why doesn't?
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess it's just kind of to leave open so we can understand all three elements of it. I don't know. It's very often, Chazal fill in those blanks that we don't have in the actual pasukim. But any other questions?
Yeah.
So I think next week we'll try to do a Shavuos.